Okay, we'll call the roll. President Judy Wilkinson?
Here.
First Vice President Frank Welt?
Yes.
Second Vice President Gabe Griffith?
Here.
Secretary Artis Spazin? I'm here. Treasurer Peter Pardini?
Here.
Immediate past President Jeff Tom?
Present.
Okay, board members. Gail Crossan?
She's not going to be here.
Oh, okay. Steve Fort?
Here.
Joseph Lopez?
Here.
Pamela Metz?
Here.
Charlene Ornelas?
Here.
Paul Patchy?
Here.
Rob Turner?
Here.
And Robert Wendt? And Vivian Younger. Okay.
Hey.
Just one absent.
All right. Since there's so many people in the room, we won't be asking for who's all here. We'll be moving pretty much immediately to hearing of the public. As you know, at our convention board meetings, we'll hear the public at the beginning and at the end. So during the meeting, you have any questions, save them up, and any comments, and we'll have probably the longer hearing of the public at the end. But we're actually ready to hear from the public right now. So, Paul, could you be ready to run a mic to somebody who might raise their hand? Does anybody seek the floor? Pamology, way down. And raise your hand when you do call so that Paul can find you. Did you find her, Paul? Do you see her? Do you see her, Paul?
I just wanted to ask anyone who was not able to attend credentials this afternoon, I need to hear from you as soon as possible so that we can organize everything and have you seated for tomorrow. There's been a lot of difficulties this time. So if you weren't there today, please contact me and ask the front desk. They'll connect you to my room. And my phone number, 626-445-7297. I need to speak with you. Thank you, and thank you, Madam President.
Pam, what is your room number?
Just ask at the front desk, they'll connect you.
Oh, that's fine. Okay, anyone else? Speak up.
Judy, this is Gene Lozano.
Hello.
Hi. When I submitted the pre-registration announcement, I checked off the program in an audio format. I was wondering if there's audio CDs, which is what I was expecting, so I could have a program.
There are not.
Okay, then I request that at the next convention that those be made available for us old dinosaurs.
That's absolutely appropriate, Gene.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone?
Yes, my name is Lupi Medrano from the Silicon Valley Council
of Blind.
Excuse me,
could we have as much quiet as possible?
And I'm going to support Peter on this because I'm also totally blind, and I would really like to have an audio version of the agenda of the conventions because it would be very, very helpful. So if we can have that at the next convention, that would be awesome.
Thank you
so very much.
It wasn't Peter, it was June. She just misstated. Anyone else? Do our runners see any more hands?
Fingers, toes, digits.
Doesn't look like it.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to begin with something that's not on the agenda, and it's emerged through discussions that Paul and I have had with a very interesting gentleman who has come to us with an interesting proposition that we have not finalized but are exploring. And I'd like to bring up to talk with you for a few minutes Mr. Patrick Netter from Smart Move Fitness. He has a device that's a sit, when you sit in a chair, you have a little treadmill that can, you can sit and move your feet on the treadmill, and it now goes from 0.1 miles to 1.1, and it's still in development, but it's very exciting. We have one for you to see this evening. So Patrick's going to tell you a little more.
Thank you very much.
Come on, you want to get this mic.
All right, yeah. So come right here.
Good evening, everyone. Hopefully you can hear me okay. I'm really, really appreciate the invite from Judy and Paul tonight, because you're going to be the first to see, the first public to see and to demonstrate this device that for some of you and some of the people you care about, this could change the quality of your life. Why do I say that? Because most of us, whether we're sighted or not, don't get enough exercise, and we're sitting down 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 hours a day. Is that right? And we've all heard sitting is the new smoking. And why is that? Because our bodies are kind of locked into place. So imagine, what if we could sit for the 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 hours a day and move our feet like we're walking, sitting down on this miniature, lightweight, portable treadmill. It's nothing that's been seen before by anyone. It happened by mistake. My background is the gear guru. I've been presenting new fitness and health and anti-aging technology for dozens of years. And this was a complete serendipitous mistake, even. So I'm inviting all of you to come back and see it and try it if you'd like. It's very easy. You just, as Judy mentioned, it's very slow. It's very quiet. And I would love to get your opinions on this. So if you're open to it, please come to the back corner. I'm sure the volunteers will help bring you back, and I'd love to meet you and speak with you. And until then, Judy, thanks so much.
Great. Here we go.
I'm looking for that mic again. Where's that mic? Where's the mic? Where's the mic? Where's the mic? If we're going to try to do this in an orderly and quiet fashion. So somebody will, one of the volunteers, Patrick, work it out with one of the volunteers to quietly go to each table and say, does anybody here, you know, or tap people on the shoulder, does anybody want to go look at this device? I'd say start with the people in the seats so the others can eat their dinner. But if you've got anybody in the theater seats, start with those folks. And see if you can't get a sense of what this device is like. Patrick won't be here during the rest of the convention, but we can talk more about it. Anytime you catch me, I love this device, so I'm willing to talk about it. So thank you for indulging us. This was an addition to the agenda, and just kind of happened sort of spontaneously.
Madam President, this is Peter.
Go ahead, Peter. Go ahead.
Basically, sounds like a real interesting device. How would, I appreciate him bringing it to CCB, but how would it benefit the council?
Peter, we are nowhere near working out an official agreement. We're just beginning talks. This is a prototype device, but, you know, the idea is it could benefit all of us in terms of health, but also employment-wise, we'd be looking at hiring blind folks to be salespeople, demonstrators for that device, but we would also get, you know, pieces of the action. But I'm not, at this point, able to say anything more. We're totally just at the beginning of the path. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I mean, then I have another question.
Go ahead.
Basically, does he have a time frame for the... If he finds this device beneficial, does he have a time frame for production?
No. Not yet.
Okay.
It's totally... This is a prototype here, and he, you know, he's going to get some of our feedback. He's already gotten a couple of people today, me and Steve mainly. And so it's truly just at the very beginning of exploration. Any other questions from the board? Okay, moving on to adoption of the minutes from the board meeting of March 9th. Do I hear a motion? Charlene and Jeff moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Thank you. Another board motion that the board approved, and we're just bringing it here tonight for official confirmation, is the motion to name our exhibit room for at least the next 5 years the Abby Schumann Exhibit Room. Charlene, I suspect you want to move this. I think for the moment, we can always extend it, Charlene. But right now, God forbid we might have other people we need to honor after 5 years. So if you would don't mind withdrawing that.
No, that's fine. I'll go ahead and
make the motion. Great. You'll make the motion, and do I have a second?
Second.
Second from Vivian?
Pam.
From Pam. Okay. We don't have beautiful signs this year. I intend to have a beautiful, permanent kind of sign made that we can always stick outside the door of the exhibit room. When I go in to greet the vendors tomorrow, I will tell them and announce that. But from hence, for the next 5 years, you will be visiting the Abby Schumann exhibit room. Whoops, wait a minute. We got a vote. Got to vote the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Passed. Thank you. I'm delighted. Okay. The next thing on the agenda, and we're gonna, people, I'm really going to try, although this board meeting is not to be, you know, entertaining, I hate boring board meetings, and so I'm going to do my very best to keep it lively and moving along, but while we attend to the business that we have to attend to. So that we can have it while we're still awake, we're going to have the treasurer's report. And
wow, that is quite a confident introduction.
Sorry, Peter. And we're going to ask Frank to read it. Poor Peter always has to contend with the terrible light. He never knows, you know, what kind of lighting he's going to have, and so we're going to ask somebody who can, you know, read it in Braille to go ahead and read the treasurer's report. And so I'm going to turn it over to Frank Welty to read the treasurer's report. Yeah, go ahead and take him.
Shoot.
And maybe hold it. Somebody needs to hold the mic for me.
For the information of the board members, I have four additional Braille copies if somebody wants one later. So just let me know. All right. I'm just getting adjusted here.
Loud and slow, Frank.
Okay. California Council of the Blind Treasurer's Report for the period January 1st to December 31st, 2016. This report has four columns, which are as follows. 1, account name. 2, actual revenue or expenses for the period. 3, budget amount. 4, variance, favorable or unfavorable. The variance is the difference between the column 2 and column 3. For revenue, we would like actual revenue to be greater than the amount budgeted. For expense, we would like the amount budgeted to be less than the amount budgeted. Ordinary income and expense. Income. San Diego County special event. $3,500 was the actual revenue. $4,000 was projected with a variance of minus $500. Vehicle Donation Processing Center, actual $2,984. Anticipated $8,500. Variance minus $5,517. New Vehicle Donation Program, actual was zero, projected $3,000. Variance minus $3,000. Affiliate Chapter Dues. Actual was $3,651. Projected was $3,800. Variance was minus $155. Members at large. Actual $120. Projected $200. Variance minus $80. Life membership dues. Actual $600. Projected $400. Variance $200.
Hey.
Conventions, actual $14,713, projected $18,000, variance minus $3,287. Bequests, actual $11, projected $7,000, variance $6,989, minus. Contributions, Ellen Murphy Fund, $2,500 actual, projected $3,000, variance minus $500.
That seems like
contributions, actual $3,459, projected $3,500, variance minus $41. CCB Scholarship Fund, actual $900, no projection, variance $900. CCB Scholarship Fund, hold on a minute. And it says CCB Scholarship Fund, actual $1,000, no projection, variance $1,000. Crisis Assistance Fund. Actual $100, projected $100, variance zero. Newell Perry, actual $20,063, projected $17,000, variance $3,063. Active Blind Incorporated, actual $10,000, projected $10,000, variance zero. Miscellaneous, actual $1,322, projected $1,175, variance $147. Monthly monetary support contributions, actual $4,456, thank you. Projected $4,000, variance $456. Administrative Officer Salary Reimbursement. Actual $3,376, no projection. Variance $3,376. Fundraising, Mutt Strutt. Actual $26,097. Projected $34,200. Variance minus $8,103. Tommy T's Comedy, $20 actual. Variance, projected zero, variance $20. Okay, total fundraisers. And it says here actual zero, projected $34,200.
I have a typo, Frank. Can I just correct it?
Go ahead.
The actual total fundraising should be $13. And the amount budgeted is $34,002. The difference is a negative. The variance is $8,103.
Is that negative or positive?
Negative.
Thank you.
Mr.
We have other questions. Let's wait till we get to the end of the revenue, and then we'll stop for questions.
All right. Legal settlement. Actual $26,000, projected $20,000, variance $6,000. Interest savings CD. Actual is $1,233, projected $6,000, variance minus $4,767. CEA loan repayment. And that is actual $2,600, projected $2,600, variance zero. That's good to see. Deposits cleared in the bank. Actual minus $1,012, no projection, variance minus $1,012. Total income. Actual $127,686.
Yes.
Projected $149,475. Variance minus $21,789.
Now, when I'm a vegetarian.
That concludes the income portion of the report.
Okay. I think the board members have a number of questions. Beginning with the fact that the Mutt Strutt figure is wrong. In their report, Donna and Debbie will have the exact figures, but we raised over $29,000 and cleared over $16,000.
But, Judy, can I explain that?
Yes, go ahead, Peter.
Basically, when I did a projection on the Mutt Strutt, for the total Mutt Strutt revenues and expenditures, that included money that we took in 2017. This report only includes monies that were received up through December 31st, 2016. So that explains the variant.
Okay. Other questions. Did we really only receive $11 in
bequests?
Yeah, that's correct, because we received the most of that bequest money in 2015. That was from that gentleman that I can't think of his name.
Other questions from the board about this part of the revenue part of the budget? Jeff. Okay, Jeff first.
Tommy T's, what is the figure there was really low. I know we
again,
cleared 1,300.
I know, Jeff, this, basically we sold one ticket in 2016 for Tommy T's.
Okay, got it.
And the remainder of that was sold in 2017.
Got it.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Charlene?
Who else? Somebody needs a mic?
Yeah, Charlene, I have the mic. Good. I robbed it.
Go ahead, Charlene.
Yes, I have a question, and the bank deposits had a figure to it. How come we have a separate bank deposits versus we have all the other incomes, which should be a total for bank deposits?
Basically, that was an adjustment that Ray Chance, in the process of reconciling our bank accounts, due to the transition period with the change in staff, we're working on the variance. So that should be corrected when he completes his reconciliation. That'll be adjusted.
Other board input? Somebody else with a question? All right, let's move on to the expenses. I'm sorry, Peter, did you want to add?
Well, I mean, I kind of liked it. Can we take a little break and have a dinner and then?
Sure, but no, Frank's dinner is the only one that's going to get cold. He's going to read.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, that's right. You guys get to eat. You guys are fine.
Go ahead and eat, Peter.
Throw his dinner under the bus.
Okay, just as a point of personal privilege to the wait staff, please do not take my dinner. Thank you. All right. Expenses. Staff support.
Salt down there, salt.
Actual $58,522.
I know people are projected trying to get their dinner, but let's be quiet.
$60,200. Variance, a savings of $1,678. Just so you know, that's a positive number. So when I say a savings, that number is positive on the sheet. And when I say an expense overrun, that will be a negative number on the sheet, just so you know. Medical insurance, actual $5,035, projected $4,900, cost overrun $135. Miscellaneous expense, and then we have some details here. Bank service charge, $1,178, no projected. Variance, overrun of $1,178. Ed Branch gift, actual $1,025, no projection, obviously, and that shows up as an overrun of $1,025. Miscellaneous expenses, other, actual $710, projected $1,200, for a savings of $490. Total miscellaneous expenses, actual $2,913, projected $1,200, for a variance of minus $1,713. Yes. Payroll tax expenses, $93,331, projected $5,700. For an excess expense of $87,631. Contract labor, actual minus $548. Projected none, for a savings of $548. Accounting services, actual $5,400, projected $9,000, for a savings of $3,600.
That's because we did a short.
Audit fees, actual $10,013, projected $16,000, for a savings of $5,987. Legal advocacy, actual $100, no projection. That was 107, and so the excess was 107. Travel and transportation, actual $1,675, projected $1,000, for an excess expense of $675. Telephone, actual $5,607, projected $5,400, for an excess of $207. Vehicle insurance, actual $1,421, projected $1,450, for a savings of $29. Membership development. Actual zero, projected 100 for a savings of 100. Rent, $32,801, projected $32,000 for an excess expense of $801. Office insurance, actual $500, projected $500, no variance. Workers' compensation insurance, actual $686, projected $650 for an excess expense of $36. Bond insurance, $170 actual, projected $170 with no variance. Board of Directors insurance, actual $3,428, projected $3,500 for a savings of $72. Printing, actual zero, projected $100, savings $100. Printing, Blind California, actual $9,807. Projected $9,300 for an excess expense of $508. Licenses, fees, and property taxes. Actual $921, projected $450 for an excess of $471. Office supplies, actual $1,111. I'm not making that up. Projected $1,000 for an excess of $111.
11 cents.
No cents. Postage and shipping. $446 actual. Projected $450 for a savings of four whole dollars.
All right.
Equipment rental. Actual $1,872. Projected $1,850 for an excess of $22. Service contracts, actual $5,504. Projected $1,000 for an excess of $4,504. Office equipment expense, $2,558. No projection for excess of $2,558. Repairs and maintenance, actual $2,047. Projected $1,000 for an excess of $1,047. Web development and webmaster. Actual $750, projected $1,000, $1,500, for a savings of $750. Board of directors. Actual $1,219, projected $500 for an excess of $719. Oops. Committee expenses, actual $716, projected $1,000 for a savings of $284. Dues to organizations, actual $2,975, projected $3,125 for a savings of $150. Conferences and seminars, actual $1,500, projected $1,500 with no variance. Sales tax expense, actual $175, projected $175, and no variance. Scholarships, CCB general, actual $5,500, projected $5,000 for an excess of $500. Scholarships, active blind, actual $8,000. Projected $10,000 for a savings of $2,000. Grants to individuals, and there's nothing under that category. Grants to individuals, Ellen Murphy, actual $7,764, projected $15,000 with a savings of $7,236. Crisis committee grants to individuals, actual $1,000. Projected $1,000 with no variance. Grants to individuals, $8,764, projected $16,000 with a savings of $7,236. Convention, actual $30,829, projected $22,000 for an excess expense of $8,829. Fundraising expenses and reimbursements. And I have zero there. Fundraising, Muttstrut expense. Actual, $20,560. Projected, $16,950. Excess expense, $3,610. Total expenses, $242,317. Projected, $234,670. For an excess expense of $7,647.
Yes, thank you.
Net ordinary revenue minus actual minus $114,631. Projected minus $85,195 for a difference of $29,436. Other income and expenses. Other income, interest, endowment. And among the, and within that there is interest endowment, actual $218, and that's all it says. Unrealized gains and losses, actual $27,757 with no projection or variance. Dividend endowment, actual $19,236. Interest income on non...
General fund accounts.
General fund account, thank you. $27. Realized gains and losses, $5,484. Total other income.
That's a negative amount.
Oh, it is a minus number. Excuse me. That was minus $5,484. Good catch, Peter. Other income. Total other income, $45,755. Other expenses. And among that is a category, other expenses, non-general fund. That includes Ellen Murphy expenses, $173. Other expenses, non-general fund, other $135. Total, other expenses, is $300.
$308.
Pardon? $308, yes, thank you. Total other expenses, $308. Net other income, $42,680. Net income, minus $96,022. And then I see minus $85,195 was projected, and I do not see the variance here. That concludes the treasurer's report. I do have a balance sheet as well.
Are there any questions regarding the expense side of the...
Once again, the Muttstrut figure?
Again, those expenses are included. I mean, again, the expense figures only amount... are only up to December 31st, 2016. Well, I'll... I'll look into it.
Do I have a mic? I can hear in somewhere. You know what? I keep forgetting that it's right in front of my face. It's just a little higher than my face. You know, I realized that in my excitement to get started, I didn't read the agenda. And I do think that you, even though I don't allow you to adopt the agenda anymore, I've arbitrarily said the agenda is the agenda, and the board got to vote, you know, on it if they wanted something different. But let me, in any case, let you know what the agenda is. So after this, we will have an alternative convention report, as per the resolution we adopted last year. Rob Turner,
Then we will have a mud strut report from Donna and Debbie. We will have an office relocation update. And then Paul's, we'll talk about his 2018 convention vision. He may title it a little differently, but it's something like that. Then we will have another comment from the public. And the reason I'm such a slave driver, not letting everybody get their dinner, is because I want to get out of here so that people can have time to have a few minutes before they have to go to nominating. I'm doing my very best to move this along. Just a reminder, if anybody else would like to take a look at Patrick's device, maybe raise your hand. Okay. As the membership will recall, we did set up an alternative. We haven't accepted the treasurer's report.
Plus, we have the reading
of
the.
We haven't read the balance sheet either.
We haven't read the balance sheet?
No.
We have not, Judy.
Oh.
You said she was rushing.
Okay. So do we do, I'm going to ask my parliamentarian, do we do the balance sheet and then accept it all?
I would.
Yeah. Would you mind? I can hand you mine. Oh, Gabe reminds me of a good, I want to say hello to the world at large because we are streaming on ACB Radio. What would I do without my trusty sidekicks up here? Okay, I'm handing over the balance sheet to Jeff so that he can read that. So we read that, and then we look, and then we adopt the budget. Adopt the treasurer's report. Is that right? Okay. So Jeff, I'm going to swing the mic around to you. Swinging the mic.
It's getting there. Okay. I think I'm on. California Council of the Blind balance sheet as of December 31, 2016. Assets: current assets, checking, savings, $1,000 general, $3,545. $1,001 general fund designated NPEF.
That's New Perry Endowment Fund.
New Perry Endowment Fund, thank you. $1,410. $1,002 general fund BRLC. $2,000, that must be their account.
Yes.
$2,925.
We're just holding the money for them.
Yeah. 1,012, FISN, FISN Middleman, it is a portion of the account, and that is $5,000. 1,012, FISN Other, that's the rest of it, $952. Total of 1,012 account is FISN $5,952.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's have a little silence here.
That is a scholarship account, by the way. 1,013 FISN Menino Scholarship, $33,986. 1,020 Bank of America Life Member Account, $2,881. 1,025 Chase Checking Account, which is scholarship related, $2,304. 1,030 Chase CCB Scholarship Fund, which is $47,552. 1,040 Bank of America CEA Loan, $22,518. 1,050 Bank of America Crisis Committee, $845. 1,070 Bank of America Fogarty Scholarship, $4,645. 1,070 Bank of America Lopez Scholarship, $2,639. 1,100 Bank of America Signs Scholarship, $23,402. And those two are both, the last two are both music-related scholarship accounts. 1,150 petty cash, $600. Total checking savings, $155,102. Accounts receivable, total, $1,120. Loans receivable, $3,889. Total accounts receivable, $3,889. Other current assets, $1,136. WFB, general investment, $40,803. $1,138 is WFB, is CCB endowment account, and that's $108,510. $1,140 is UBS, which is Ellen Murphy Fund, and that has $236,554. $1,145 is Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, and that is $245,930, and I believe that's the Newell Perry, is it not? $1,499, undeposited funds, turn the page, $251. $1,955, deposit, rent, $4,000. Total other current assets, $636,139. Total current assets are $795,131. Fixed assets, $1,520 machinery and equipment, $70,340. $1,526 accumulated depreciation, machinery and equipment, $66,950. $1,530 is furniture and fixtures, $2,250. $1,535 is accumulated depreciated furniture and fixtures, $803. $1,540 vehicles, $26,370. $1,545 accumulated depreciation of vehicles, $26,370. Total fixed assets, $4,837. Other assets, $1,201 is the CEA fund due from General. And I don't know what BM means. $673. I only read it, don't shoot the messenger.
And this is being recorded.
$1,202 general due to CEA fund. The same initials as the last one. $673.
I think the budget memo.
Ah, budget memo. I should have known.
Of course.
Next time. 1211 CEA fund due from General NU. Now, I don't know what that stands for either.
I need to check with Ray on that one. I can't remember.
$531. And this is probably another NU. It is. General due from CEA fund. $531. Total other assets, zero. They canceled out, those things did. Total assets, $799,968. Liabilities and equity. Liabilities, current liabilities, accounts payable, $2,100. Accounts payable, only $3,437. $2,160, accrued vacation, $854. Total accounts payable, $4,291. Other current liabilities, $2,140 payroll taxes payable, $2,141 FICA payroll, $1,000. $2,142, don't know what the sign is. It's a payroll item anyway, says $793. $2,143 Medicare payroll, $234. $2,144 SDI payroll, that's state disability, $70. Actually, $79, excuse me. $2,145 SUI payroll, $245. $2,146 FUI payroll. $323. $2,147. This is another payroll thing, but I don't know what it is. S something CA. $170. It isn't much anyway. Payroll taxes payable, other, $286. Total $2,140 payroll taxes payable, $3,127. 2150, payable to BRLC, $2,925. That's the money in their account from above. 2170, deferred lease incentive, $7,869. Total other current liabilities, $13,921. Total current liabilities, $18,212. Total liabilities, $18,212. Equity, unrestricted, $533,016. Unrestricted board designated, this is 3475. Unrestricted board designated, 3582 CEA loan fund, $28,234. 3583 life member fund, $6,715. 3584 crisis assistance fund, zero. Total, 3475 unrestricted board designated, $34,949. 3580 temporarily restricted. $35.81, temporarily restricted Solomon Smith, $175,805. $35.85, temporarily restricted CCB Scholarship Fund, $50,867. $35.86, temporarily restricted Middleman Int Fund, Interest Fund, zero. $35.87, temporarily restricted Fogarty Scholarship Fund, $4,643. $35.88, temporarily restricted Lopez Scholarship Fund, $2,638. This is really a listing the same things off. $35.89, temporarily restricted Menino, $4,077. $35.90, temporarily restricted Middleman, zero. $35.91, signs, $402, temporarily restricted. That's interest, I think, on signs. $35.92, temporarily restricted Ellen Murphy, $243,515. $35.93, temporarily restricted OCB student is assistance fund, $6,881. $35.94, temporarily restricted active blind scholarship, $5,250. $35.96, temporarily restricted web development, $4,175. Total, $35.80, temporarily restricted, $498,252. Last page, gang. $3,600 loan to general fund from CEA, $16,000. $3,610 permanently restricted. $3,611 permanently restricted Menino bequest, $30,000. $3,612 permanently restricted signs bequest, $23,000. $36.13 permanently restricted Middleman bequest, $5,000. $36.14 permanently restricted Newell Perry endowment, $70,000. Totals, $36.10 permanently restricted, $128,000. $3,900 retained earnings, $332,440. Net income is a minus $96,022. Total equity, $781,756. Total liabilities and equity is a positive $799,968. That concludes the report. And since I have the mic, I'm going to take advantage of it. Peter, the loan, the loan to the general fund from CEA
paid off.
Yeah, that should be gone, shouldn't it?
I know.
Okay, thank you. I'm done.
Yeah, that's corrected.
Okay, board members.
Yes, Artis. You need a mic. Somebody will get you a mic, Artis.
Okay, yeah, I've got the mic.
Okay.
First of all, I'd like to request that in the future we get our copies in our packet. Usually I get my copies of it in Braille for my packet, and this time I did not. I just got it, some of them electronically last week. The other thing is I'd like to propose that we accept this budget, except for the, you know, Mutt Strut part, since we're going to have the Mutt Strut report later. I make a motion.
Okay, Artis has, I'm not sure quite how to phrase this. If you don't want to technically accept the budget, I mean the treasurer's report, shall we, can we, Jeff, can we accept it conditionally or something?
Sure. Accept it conditionally upon
Provisionally?
Provisionally upon
Some of the additional information being clarified. Madam
President?
Go ahead, Charlene.
The budget, she's got me started too. The treasurer's report is of December 31st. Therefore, the information we're going to be given about the Muttstrup is after that date.
Yes, it is. I'm sorry.
It's when it comes into the offices and approved and put into the books is the date that you go by.
Basically, for Muttstrup expenses and revenues, the only amounts that were included were the amounts that were received or paid out as of for the period January 1st, 2016 to December 31st, 2016.
So a lot of what would have been paid out would have been, and these figures would have been related to the Muttstrup of 2015.
No, that's not.
As well.
There could be a little bit, but.
Yeah. So that would explain some things,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it could be.
Because there would be some figures from 2015.
Yes.
I'm going to accept the motion to adopt the treasurer's report.
As amended, with the stipulation or as it is?
Well, let Artis, what would you, just 1 second.
Well, I would just like it verified, that's all. But upon verification, I would accept the treasurer's report.
Well, I can't. It's real. I'll defer to the board.
We are going to have a Muttstrup report, remember. And so it seems to me that we need. Rob is seeking the mic.
I want to make sure I understand the situation. Is anyone disputing the accuracy of these figures as of December 31st, 2016? Okay.
Right.
So,
the report later.
So then, is the motion going to be to accept the report with verification?
No.
No. Okay.
Jeff, Jeff is our parliamentarian. I'm going to let him have the mic.
I think that what we're missing here is this is no reflection on what the Muttstrup did. This is a mere reflection of accounting. Procedures and accounting means the year only of 2016. So the treasurer report has nothing to do with the Muttstrup per se.
That's correct, Jeff.
So, what is your motion?
Artis, would you restate your motion? Artis, because of her motion has not been seconded, is withdrawing her current motion. Do I have a motion?
Charlene.
I
make a motion to accept the treasurer's report as read.
Second.
Jeff seconds. Further board discussion. Okay, hearing none. All in favor of accepting the treasurer's report as read, say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Accepted. Okay. And I was teasing about the numbers, but this is obviously incredibly important to have our treasurer's report. And I want to thank Peter for all his work there.
Thank you very much. And I'll be working with Ray Chan on getting the an updated current year's treasurer's report ASAP, because I know he's been busy with tax stuff. And he's going to get a phone call next week stating that we need to get this a current 2017 treasurer's report figures going. So that I can report to the board as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Okay, let's... we had a resolution at last year's convention to set up an ad hoc committee, and Rob Turner chaired that committee this year. That committee worked very hard and met almost every month for the entire year. They really, really worked conscientiously on their assignment. I'm going to now turn the mic over to Rob Turner for his report to the board.
Okay, thank you, Judy. So, as our initial goal...
Could we have quiet, please?
We had several goals, but the initial goal really was to define exactly what we meant by participation. And so we had various levels. The level that we have now is, of course, that every that people can listen to the convention through ACB radio. So the next level of participation would be, could someone speak to the convention? And, of course, we don't have that yet. Could someone, I believe in the past, people have been able to email questions in. So that was another sort of a minor level. The final...
Speak up a little bit more.
The final level of participation would be the ability to vote. So, what we did is we looked into all three of these areas, and to begin with, we developed a survey that we distributed through the various lists. Unfortunately, we didn't get as much of a response as we would have hoped for, but a couple of the highlights of the survey indicated that there were more people interested in telephone options than there were those who would want to use a computer. There were more people interested in possibly going to a local agency to hear the convention. And so that was our basic survey. So basically where we are now, and we also investigated some conferencing services, and unfortunately they were well out of our price range. One of them, called Our Hub, was going to be, I think, $4,000 for the piece of equipment that we would have needed, and then there was also additional monthly expenses that we just were prohibitive at this point. Our committee recommendations are basically to continue to focus increasing our social media presence. One of the goals of the original resolution was to get enable more young people to participate. The other would be to continue to work on the possibility of having these meetings at the local agency. And that's basically where we left it. And I consider this a work in progress. I think we had several obstacles that sort of got in our way, partly because it was a year of transition. I think we had some uncertainties about how we would coordinate with the streaming committee and so forth. But for this next year, we're going to be working more closely with them, especially with Gabe and Paul, to figure out how we can accomplish some of these goals. So that's my report. It's certainly not as long as the treasurer's report, thankfully, but I do want to thank Gabe, Paul, Linda, Peter, and Charlene for all their hard work. And at the president's pleasure, I will be willing to continue chairing this committee until we can come up with some solutions to these problems.
And I want to make clear that it's the other Paul, right? Paul Patchy?
Paul Patchy. I guess I should use last names. So, thank you.
Gabe seeks the floor. Can you lean over to this one if I move it?
I don't know. It's going to be tough.
Well, let's take it. Let's take it out of its holder. Let me break this mic.
No. Yeah.
All right, I got one.
Gabe, did you get one?
Yeah, I got one.
Shoot. Well,
that was going to be easier.
I would like to make a motion to accept this report and to also have the committee continue for at least another year with Rob chairing it.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Was that Peter or was that
Yes,
Rob?
Peter.
So,
Charlene seconded
first. Oh, well, Rob, okay. Gabe moved, and he says Charlene seconded, so we'll go with that. Peter thirded. And, further board discussion?
Yeah, I have discussion.
Jeff has discussion.
I'm not obviously not against the motion, and I want to congratulate Rob and the committee. But my question is what is their charge going to be for the next year? And what I mean by that question is, are we trying to essentially incorporate an alternative into the existing structure, or are we trying to have something different? What is it that they are most wanted to accomplish in the next year?
I'm going to respond to that by saying, and Rob, disagree with me. I mean, please comment if I... It seems to me that realistically, for the next foreseeable years, since we have to get contracts so far out, we're looking at alternative ways to supplement and work within alternatives conjoint with our conventions, to work in harmony with our conventions. Would that seem, does that seem realistic? Because you were the original founder of the resolution.
Yeah, that's what it would,
Okay, and Rob, does that seem?
Yes, it does, and yeah. a couple of quick points. When we looked into the voting aspect, which we would love to be able to have people to vote somehow, but unfortunately, the current systems don't allow for spontaneous voting, and I think the one used by Guide Dogs was $4 or $5 a vote, something like that. So again, we just need to try to. We may not have solutions, but I think we need to keep looking.
Great. Further discussion. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. Let's give a hand to this wonderful committee. And without further ado, put your hands together for the Mutt Strut ladies, Donna Pomp. Donna Pomerantz and Debbie Cordero. We suggest you come up here and grab mics and maybe put. Is that going to work?
Jimmy, can we have a mic here? There are actually going to be three of us.
Okay. Yes, you may. Can someone do? Can we accommodate them with a mic? Okay.
I know. Thank you for bringing it. I apologize. I'm having some struggles, so thank you for accommodating me. I, first of all, want to start by thanking each and every person in the California Council of the Blind for these past 6 years who has supported the CCB Mutt Strut fundraiser. I want to start with everybody. Give yourselves a huge, huge hand. So many people had a hand in this as it moved forward starting from 2011, and I wanted to make sure that we start off in that vein. So thank you very much. I am going to first, I have Debbie Cordero, who was my co-chair this year, by my side on my left, and I have on my right my husband, Mitch Pomerantz, who had mutt strut in the house for the past 6 years, and we're still married, so. He's been wonderful, loving, and supportive through this entire 6 years, and I wanted to definitely give him a huge thank you. He's going to read part of the report as well. So I'm going to first, I'd like to first give the microphone over to Debbie Cordero, my co-chair, and let her share a little bit with you while I pull up my part of the report. So Debbie, it is yours.
Thank you, Donna. Before I put on my reading glasses, I would like to say that the community of Crescenta Valley is in awe of the California Council of the Blind. This organization has educated not only that community, but all the surrounding counties, LA, San Bernardino, Riverside, you know, just on and on. And, you know, you could feel how much more they wanted to learn about this entity. And I don't want to get emotional because this is not the place. But all of you, what you accomplish outside these doors is, I don't like to use the word amazing because that's so overdone, but what all of you do outside these doors, my sister tells me us, what we all do outside these doors, and she's my baby sister, okay? is incredible. I'm honored to be part of this organization. That being said, Mutt Strut not only brought this organization together, it brought all ages within that community. Something that community said they had never seen. It brought not only people of, well, I won't tell you how old I am, but, you know, all ages, but the youth who were in junior high school, that had feared a little bit about the community of blindness, because they weren't sure what it was about. When they spent that Mutt Strut day with us, they went back and recruited for the following year. And all I gotta say is, I'm honored to be here and be a member of CCB. And that community cannot say thank you to all of you because of the accomplishments that each one of you have shared in your own way with that community. So I just wanted, you guys need to give yourselves a big hand. That's all I gotta say, please. You guys are incredible. If no one has ever told you thank you before for being part of this organization, I'm saying it, the community, and you should all say it and pat yourselves on the back, okay? Because you guys do hard work. Thank you. Okay, that being said, I'm going to put on my reading glasses. And I'm just going to share a couple of figures while my eyes focus here. These figures are from 2016 and 2017. Mutt Strut fundraising ended February 19th of 2017, for those who weren't sure why it went into 2017. Our total revenue for this Mutt Strut was $29,701. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Right on, you guys. You guys were out of control this year. In a good way. In a good way. Yes. So thank you for all the hard work, every one of you. Yes. The total expenses for 2016, $13,578.01. You got to throw that penny in there, right? 1 cent. So our profit for Mudstrut, this was the biggest since we started. $16,122.99. Woo! You guys did this. All of us. Donna just corrected me again. Okay. Okay. Well, we'll throw the, Mitch said he would have thrown the penny in to bring it up. Okay. Well, that being said, I'm going to pass the mic over to Donna. She has a couple other little stats that we want to share.
Yes, and before my computer dies, our top dog, and there were three top dogs racing for that that top spot this past year. And then all of a sudden, one little wild black Labrador male just came out at the very end and surprised each and every one of us, because they also got their work involved in a workplace campaign to do matching funds. So everybody, hats off, give a huge applause to Hugo Herrera and his handler, Louis Herrera, who kind of came along for the ride. Mr. Hugo Herrera raised $2,535 as this year's top dog for Mudstrut. And of course, you know, if you ever saw Hugo with his company badge walking up and down the halls of the big building there in LA, you know, everybody stops and wants to see him. So nobody could say no to Hugo. So everybody, once again, give Hugo Herrera and Team Hugo and the Herrera family a big hand.
Hey.
That was something else. They came out at the 11th hour, and they just jumped right in there, and so that was absolutely wonderful. We had our fearless leader, President Judy Wilkinson, who is the handler of Miss Carly, who was at Mudstrut this year, yes, representing us well, who was right there. She raised $2,030 at the end of the campaign. So thank you, Carly and Judy. Give them a big hand. Our third place dog was Miss Flower. Now, Miss Flower was on this year's flyer because little Miss Flower was top dog the previous year. And she came in third place, and she raised $1,560. Flower and Denise Cervera. Give them a huge, huge hand. She is part of the family of previous board member Vincent Calderon. If you don't recognize that last name, she is part of the Calderon clan. And her mom, of course, is Maria Casanova. And let me get back to Mr. Hugo Herrera over here really quick, if I might. We were very, very fortunate, CCB was, to have a sponsorship from the Sempra Energy Foundation for Muttstrut for a total of $5,000. So everybody give Sempra Energy a big, big hand. And of course, it was probably because they couldn't say no to Mr. Hugo and Louie right along there with him for the ride. So that was a wonderful, wonderful surprise as well. Another sponsor that we had for Muttstrut was the Pasadena Host Lions Memorial Trust Foundation. Now, Pasadena Host Lions and the Sempra Energy Foundation, SoCal Gas, have been with Muttstrut for the past several years. And Pasadena Host Lions Memorial Trust Foundation once again gave CCB a sponsorship for Muttstrut of $3,000 to go toward Muttstrut. Bravo for Pasadena Host. We've also received support from a number of other entities, donations, financial donations, and I want to share with you that, you know, we lost our wonderful cantankerous Abby Schumann.
Yeah.
And even though Abby you know, left us in the summer of last year, we got a call from the La Cañada A.M. Kiwanis Foundation, and they wanted us to come and pick up the check so that they could give a small donation. They called it small, I call it just huge. Every bit is just a huge, huge benefit for CCB, so we were so honored to be able to go and pick up that check as well. And they really have a warm heart for CCB. We opened up a CCB PAC leaders page, and that contained our sponsors and several of our donors as well, several of our chapters. Even though they weren't able to participate in Muttstrut, they gave donations to the CCB PAC leaders page, and we had some CCB members who weren't sure, oh my gosh, who are we going to support? Who are we going to support? So they put it on the CCB PAC leaders page. So the CCB PAC leaders page in total, which was inclusive of our sponsors, we have a wonderful anonymous friend that Debbie and Mitch and myself met at a run/walk that we were invited to by a for-profit several years ago at the Rose Bowl, and our table was rushed with people. They gave us a free table, and Debbie met this gentleman, and it just goes to show you never know who you're meeting, you never know who you're shaking hands with, and he started to speak with Debbie. And then the table got rushed, and Debbie gave the warm handshake and gave him off to me, and then more people came to the table, and the table got rushed, and so I gave him off to Mitch with the warm handshake, and Mitch was telling him all about each and every one of us in this room, telling him about CCB, and we were so generously surprised. For this year's Muttstrut, he donated $3,000. To the CCB Muttstrut. Yes. And he also did that the previous year as well. So we definitely have a number of people who love our CCB. I want to share that we had 35 fundraisers. So 35 people raised money for the Muttstrut. We had over 155 donations given to Muttstrut, individuals who donated to people's pages, individuals who gave that day. We had 120 participants who were registered for the Muttstrut, the run/walk that day. We had 12 vendors, everything from our guide dog users group who was there to a CCB table to Greyhound adoption to a pet vet lab that was there. So we had veterinarians there to these cute little puppy clothes. Mitch said, I don't know if the dogs want to wear those, but they were so, so cute. A lot of people loved them. On Mutt Strut Day was absolutely wonderful. And Mitch says, not a chance. It was just a wonderful day. Everybody had such a great time. We had approximately 20 raffle gifts. We had the great getaway that was won by our San Gabriel Valley chapter. So it stayed in the family, the Southwest tickets. And you know, we just had a wonderful day. I want to have Mitch read. First of all, I want to thank everybody again, as Debbie did. I'm not going to, you know, do as she said, because she did it so well. But each and every one just has given so much these past 6 years. I want to thank those members who took the initiative, and some I also reached out to, who sent their highlights of Mutt Strut. I want to thank our Paul Shane, who asked me and Debbie to gather member highlights of Mutt Strut. And I want to have Mitch read some of those highlights to you. I am so happy he's a wonderful, good reader of Braille, because I am going to hand it over to him to read it over to you, and then I'll end with some final short closing words. Let me give it over to Mitch.
I am what is called an amanuensis, and if you don't know what that means, look it up. Donna's one half a good eye is a little stressed tonight, so thank you, Hymns and the Braille Sense. We transferred this file to a thumb drive on the way over today. So what we have are some highlights that were sent in by folks who attended Mutt Strut. The community's enthusiasm to participate and assist in the success of each year's Mutt Strut is always wonderful to see. The Mutt Strut is an opportunity for blind and sighted alike to get out and exercise for a good cause. The dogs are all so well behaved, no matter if they are a guide dog, pet dog, service dog, or dog up for adoption. Beside the walk run, there are always several organizations who come out to support the CCB and provide information about their services and or goods. I look forward to each year when I get the opportunity to walk with friends, have a good time, and support the efforts of the California Council of the Blind. Now, some of the comments. That was a comment. It sounded like something you wrote. All right. See, we didn't rehearse this. A big highlight for me was having my daughter and her love and their two puppies be a part of our day. And we didn't edit these comments. It was wonderful to walk together, to have Paige win a prize, and to be able to walk the trail with my guide dog and my husband along, being led and cheered along by the young blood of our daughter and her love. It was exciting to hear the choir of blind students and to experience their talent and excitement. Having the Greyhound dogs was also a very novel experience, and we appreciated them all being a part of our day. Learning about them was very interesting. I also enjoyed the vendors, but the most favorite thing was getting together with my friends and colleagues. Next comment. I found the experience invigorating. Some highlights were, one, talking to SoCal Gas and finding out about programs to help those who are homeless or with low income. I could share with my chapter and my church. Talking with high school age volunteers who were inspired by those of us walking the 5K. There should be a period there. Talking with other members about their activities and lives, just catching up, helping CCB. I noticed the audience liked the raffles, contests, and just interacting. We also enjoyed seeing and hearing the Blind Student Band. The outreach to the community was great. One of the volunteers mentioned to me that she enjoys volunteering since our event is so organized, much more than a couple other events planned by cited organizations. No offense to those who are light challenged or light dependent. Next comment. There are many highlights from this recent Mutt-Strutt event. First, meeting people from the community that came out to support this event was something that can't be described with words. The young volunteers seemed to be everywhere ready to assist the blind participants. This event drew people from the community that came out to support this event, even though they did not sign up. Most of all, one cannot ignore the core team and their dedication to put on a well-organized event. Another comment. The highlights of my Mutt-Strutt experience, 2016. I enjoyed challenging myself to the 2K, enjoyed hearing the high school band, and seeing my friends. Next comment. As an avid walker who is also low vision, the CCB Mutt-Strutt is a great way to share in the fun that with others and give back to CCB and the community. Another comment. As a college student, I received several CCB scholarships that helped to pay education expenses. This is an opportunity for me to give back to those who can benefit from scholarships, technology, and other support offered by CCB. Next, the Mutt-Strutt breaks down stereotypes and myths about what people who are low vision and blind can do. I believe exercise is important for everyone. At the event, there is an opportunity to share experiences and cultures with each other. Another comment, the CCB Mutt-Strutt is a great example of an accessible and inclusive event, including our four-legged friends. And that concludes my conclusion. Donna?
Thank you. Thank you for reading everybody's words, who some took the initiative and some shared as reached out to. Again, thank you. I want to conclude by saying that this Mutt-Strutt belonged to everyone. Everyone had different ideas and thoughts of it for many, many years before it even started. And I was the one who was crazy enough to say, well, let's do it, see what happens, you know? So this belonged to everyone. And I want to, again, share that the convention theme, new challenges, new opportunities, that is very, very fitting. CCB is at a place where our president is moving us forward, and she has something that I would have absolutely loved to have. She has a Mr. Paul Shane right there in her corner. And I want to share that because it is so important our president, is very supportive of everything that Mr. Paul Shane is doing, and he was brought to us to assist in fundraising and gathering revenue. And so I would hope that everyone would join myself and Debbie and Mitch and others to support the fundraising initiatives that will come from Mr. Paul Shane, our president, and our board, because CCB really, really needs it. This year six will be the last Mutt Strut that will be led by us. I know Paul has a number of ideas that I'm looking forward to supporting, and I hope a number of you are, and Debbie just said I am too, so she whispers and tells me in my ear too, just like the big sister that she is. Yes, the Pomerances and the Cordero is here. So folks, please join us in supporting Judy, who is 100% supportive of Paul in his endeavors as we work to continue to move CCB forward, and know that Judy is completely supportive of him and his fundraising endeavors, and I look forward to seeing what's there for us in the future, and we've had a wonderful time with Mutt Strut. Now we have Paul. So we'll see what's going to happen with us in the future. Thank you, everyone, very much. And thanks to Hugo and Louis Herrera for Top Dog this year. Thank you.
Donna and Debbie, you don't get to avoid coming up here, so would you come up here right now, please? Are they on their way?
They don't do anything
quickly. Whatever you may say about it was all of us, we know how much of the Mutt Strut is the two of you. And we have something for you. Paul, would you like to describe what we have?
So we had...
You need to get on the mic, Paul.
I can't get on the mic. I'm holding things.
Sorry. We got to record it. We got it on screen.
It's recording. You have to.
Somebody hold the mic.
Okay. So what we had at last minute, because I just found out on Friday that we weren't doing the Mutt Strut again. So
you didn't need to say that.
No. Because I would have been better prepared is what I'm saying. So we had some acrylic plaques. They're in a teardrop shape made for Donna and Debbie. And it has the Mutt Strut logo at the top engraved, and it says Donna Pomerantz, Debbie Cordero, respectively, thank you for your efforts in going above and beyond and making the Mutt Strut an amazing success. And they're engraved on black and white.
And it has the Mutt Strut logo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you. Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Debbie, I want a hug.
This is Donna, but I get my hug.
It's your hug. Absolutely. I got her hug already. We hugged already. You're
thank you. That is so beautiful. Oh, my gosh.
So well deserved.
Oh, my gosh.
Do either of you want to say anything?
You know, all your names should be on this, honestly. Donna, this, you know, the logo that's on here, I will say, the printer that gifted this logo, the circle with the dog strutting on the blue ribbon, and also the blue bone. Dog tag. They're 3D versions. Was an amazing printer. And, you know, the sad part is letting all this go is hard. And, you know, all these people were ready to work again. And, but look it, you know, doors are still open. That's always a good thing, right, Judy? Yeah. You know, they're willing to work with us with whatever we need. And good relationships, you know, for what they're worth, we need to cherish them. Right, Donna? So we could always go back to these entities, Judy, whenever we need them for any of our goods. So, yeah, Donna.
And if you haven't figured it out yet, Debbie had this wonderful relationship with this printer, and these people just can't say no to her. I don't know why. Yeah, it's wonderful. I mean, I think the thing that is just so much of a blessing is when we go and thank each and every individual who either gave a prize donation. All of the food that we have had at our Mud Struts has been donated. We haven't had to purchase any, and we get surprises at the last minute. And we have a wonderful picture gallery that was given to us this year by two volunteer photographers that I'll send to Paul again to keep that for the digital archives. I don't know what to say. It's hard to let it go. It was always a labor of love. It belongs to each and every one of us. And now each and every one of us needs to turn our efforts towards supporting Judy and Paul in these fundraising endeavors that Paul and Judy will be bringing before us. Because as I said, Judy supports all of this. So let's join together in strength and support Judy as our president and Paul in these fundraising endeavors and everything moving forward. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for the surprise.
Oh, it's so much fun to do stuff like
that. What's that speaker?
Madam President?
Artists.
I'd like to make a motion to accept the Mud Strut report.
Second.
With gratitude.
Artists, I think you're the perfect person to make that motion. And who seconded it down there?
Robert.
Who? Robert?
Robert Wendt.
Robert. Okay. Well, what a wonderful motion. Any board discussion? I'm lost. Who's this? Okay. All those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, abstained, passed. And we've said so much already, but let's have one more hand for the Mud Strut ladies. You know, we might actually get out of here by, I don't want to predict, but we're doing quite well. We're up to the point of the agenda where we're going to talk about the office relocation. Our lease is up in November, so by November, we are going to be in a new office space. In addition to everything else we're working on this year, it's like we didn't really need this, but it's here. So I'm going to ask Paul to discuss, to give you an update, to give the board an update on the office relocation. I'm going to put this back. It'll make a noise. Hey, I did pretty good.
You're getting better. Okay, so when we're in the state of volunteer recognition, I just wanted to take a second to recognize all the volunteers for the convention. I don't remember every single contribution and everyone who did everything, but without all the volunteers, there's no way that we would be here today, especially the last minute folks. I think specifically of Leslie Tom, who came in like the 23rd hour and helped us braille things and, you know, with a smile on her face and a song in her heart. I particularly want to thank our Sacramento volunteers, and I only see three of them here. Okay. So for those of you who know me well, you know that I will pretty much do anything to get people to do things for me. And so we had four, trying to count, but I'm tired. So four full-time volunteers for this convention that came down with me from Sacramento and took vacation from work to be here. So I'm just going to say, I'll just name first names because even though I've known them for years, I still butcher their last names. So Rangina.
Yes, Rangina.
Rawash is here somewhere. I don't see her, but she's here. Edwin is here.
Edwin.
Oh, yeah. And Sandra's here as well. So all of them are here. So thank you for sacrificing your time on behalf of CCB. So the office move. I think it was day 10 where I had a casual conversation with Judy where she said, oh, by the way, the lease is ending. I was like, oh, we should be good if, you know, that's all you haven't told me. And it wasn't all that she didn't know. But, you know, we're here and we're moving forward. So let's see. So it's been about 5 months since we've been working on creating a plan for relocating the office. And we first got, well, we first retained the realtors who had us find our current space. And they gave us a list of 22 properties, which myself and Jennifer went through and narrowed down to 6. We then went out and did site visits on those 6 and pretty much rapidly narrowed them down to 2 because of price and location and accessibility issues. And then of those 2, one got rented in our time frame between then and now. And we have one property still on the table that myself, Judy, Jeff, and Jennifer, which is the committee that is dedicated to this, is going to go and visit on April 18th. Right, Judy?
Yep, that's right.
Okay, April. I keep saying the 16th for some reason. So now this particular property is in the same city as the convention for the next 2 years. And it's actually... That was someone from Sacramento. I won't name who she is. She may be in some sort of elected position, but I don't know who she is. So this particular landlord really wants us to rent from them in a partnership, really. It's another nonprofit organization. It's the Sheet Metal Association. and it's their administrative offices. So they own the building. They're looking for a long-term dependable tenant to essentially rent the other side. I don't have all the details we're coming up with. The plan was to come up with the final offer and then bring it to the board, but they wanted us to give you a preview of what's been happening. So it's around 1,900 square feet, which is pretty much double the space we currently have, for about $100 more a month. There's dedicated parking on site. It's accessible by light rail and bus. There's a state-of-the-art conference center that we can use with advance notice. There's also a boardroom attached to it that we can fit 50 to 60 people in with advance notice and reservations. But it's got six offices as compared to the two offices we currently have, and it also has a dedicated reception area. So, and the landlord has agreed to hold the place open for us until our current lease ends, so we don't deal with subleases and things like that. And they've agreed to give us 3 months free rent, replace the carpet, paint the building. I mean, pretty much, they really want us to rent from them, but they're also looking for our nonprofit partner to work on some other things with. So that's the office relocation update, I guess I want to say. Judy, did you want me to say anything else?
I just want to say that blind people have not visited this site yet, and Jeff and I will be looking in great detail at its accessibility and how realistic the transportation options are, including, Paul tells me, a little van service that circulates from the light rail through the business parks that this is this would come adjacent to our building. So, I don't want to say anything further because until blind people have checked this out, we're holding off on a final, any kind of final decision. So that's all I have to say. Jeff, do you want to add anything?
I guess I'll reserve judgment. I will say nothing at this point.
Okay.
Give me 30 seconds to move.
No, I think, quick. Somebody move. Now, this is not a report. This is an update. And that's not,
that's
something.
Why I don't want to.
Yeah, this is not a motion, an actionable item at this point. Okay. Are there any questions from board members?
Until you guys have a site visit and a review of the lease agreement, I really can't. I don't have any other questions.
Okay. Any other board members? Okay.
The city is Rancho Cordova, by the
right,
way.
Right, it is Rancho. It's Rancho Cordova, which is, in fact, I'm not sure we will say more about this, believe me, and Paul's going to talk about it just momentarily, or even in a moment. Rancho Cordova is where we are holding our convention in 2018 and 2019 with good rates, mm-hmm. Yeah. Around, I think it's like around 100, there-ish. For the first year and around 110-ish there-ish for the second year. And that's, frankly, very, very good. And the food and beverage has gone up to about 18,000. But you know what? We're very close to that here this year, which is very, very exciting. We are going to make our food and beverage minimum. No extra wine, no snacks for the resolutions committee. And in a way, it's nice to be saying that, because when we used to have to, give out things just so we wouldn't have to pay money, we, so we
we're you guys have stepped up and had the ordered the plated meals, and we can't thank you enough for
There's
that.
There's still plated meals available, so
if you haven't
gotten anything.
What would a meeting be without Peter to tell us there are plated meals available? Because we do, you know, we do add a few in so that people last minute can come up and get their tickets. So if you haven't got your tickets yet, this banquet, you will not want to miss this banquet with Carl Augusto talking and bringing his guitar. I mean, bringing Ken's guitar, but he's going to play it. And Tony Stevens, who's the ACB representative, is going to be the master of ceremonies Saturday night. Yeah. Yeah. So, with having said that, Paul, you're the last item on the agenda for your report about the activities and your vision for the 2018 convention.
So I asked Judy if I had to stay for the entire board meeting, and she said, no, you can sneak off after your report. Having just looked at the agenda, I now get that joke. We'll see, Ken, we'll see. So I want to talk for a minute about why we're in this room and thank everyone who helped with the case for support. I reached out across the state of California to a group of different people from different chapters, and they really shared their perspectives and their time with us. And, you know, part of that was me doing a whole lot of research on people who are blind and low vision. And there's three stats that kind of stood out in my mind as, I want to say, sobering stats. One being that 74% of working age blind folks are unemployed.
Yeah.
So let's take a minute to drink that in. 74%. Anybody in this room know what the percentage of unemployment in 1933 at the height of the Great Depression was?
25%.
24.74% or something like that. So three times the amount of the unemployment in the Great Depression, which is the worst this country's ever seen, and no one seems to care, right? The next stat that I found particularly disturbing was there's just as many blind youth who drop out of high school that graduate college. Very unacceptable to me. Being the youngest of 10 kids and the first person in my family to get a college degrees are very important in my eyes.
That doesn't seem...
So the third thing that I frankly wasn't really surprised about after the first stat was up to 90% of folks that are blind or low vision live in poverty. 90%. So those are the sobering stats, and really that's why we're in this room and, you know, why your organization still exists. I mean, kind of the ultimate goal of every nonprofit in existence is to exit the building and no longer exist. But this organization has a lot of work to do and a lot of miles to go before we sleep, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot still to be done. So April 19th is my 6th month mark at the CCB. Some of you know some of the struggles I've faced and have been good venting soundboards. And I appreciate that. So my time here has really been marked by crumbling infrastructure, sustained and intensive infighting, but also infinite possibilities. I really have seen the best in people that I've ever seen in my entire life at this organization. People that make sacrifices without question, people that are always there when you need them. Again, Leslie Tom, I'm thinking of right now.
What?
Not just because she's in my line of sight. But she has volunteered last minute for, I think, more things than I can count on two hands in my time here. So, I mean, other people have come forward to, but again, she's in my line of sight, so I'm going to look this way to not single her out anymore. Let's see. So the ultimate goal, why I'm here, is to help you to transform the CCB into a high-performing, sustainable, self-renewing organization. Right? Anybody ever been in the military in this room? Probably not. Yeah, refer to this statistic, she says. So,
and
they won't give us guns for some reason.
So, some of you would probably be better shots than some of the folks I've served with in law enforcement. So that's all I'm saying. Okay, so in the military, we used to have a term called high speed, low drag.
High speed what?
Low drag.
Low drag?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's an aviation term, really.
Yeah, got it.
And that's really why I'm here, is to create a high speed, low drag organization, and I can't do it without your help. So the unexpected challenges that I've faced in the time here have been annoying, have been frustrating, but more importantly, have really kind of sidetracked me from the purpose of why I'm here. So, but now we've come together kind of as a team and are moving forward to accomplish some better things. But so to get to where we want to get to, the number one thing that we have to do is to continue to be committed to building one unified, engaged organization under one mission and one vision. We can't have a different mission, vision, and message for the Humboldt chapter and the Fresno chapter. We all need to be on the same page with the same mission, vision, and commitment to moving forward together. So having said that, for people that I don't tend to talk to every day of my life, and there's a few of those here in this room, but I want to talk just about some key things that have been accomplished over the last 6 months that you may or may not be aware of. So shortly after coming on board, we appointed an administrative services officer through a community collaborative relationship that has saved the CCB over $14,000. Mm-hmm. So there were some computer infrastructure issues and some worker compensation type of things around the office. So long story short, the computers and the servers died. We had to replace them. And the chairs that we had in the office were like so old, they were literally falling apart. So we also replaced those because, you know, at the bare minimum, me and Jen need a place to sit and computers to use. So then after doing that, I looked around the CCP office and realized that there are Mutt Strut t-shirts from floor to ceiling. About 3,000 of them. Yeah. Among other things, just like random things that you guys have accumulated over time and had taken over the office. So we spent a large amount of time creating a usable office space. That's done now. Things are organized. We can find things. We don't have broken assistive technology equipment that takes up as much room as a desk that's not usable for anything. So we can walk through the office. I think that when Gabe and Judy first came for a visit, I couldn't bring them past the reception area because it just wasn't safe. It wasn't safe for a sighted person to walk through there. It definitely wasn't safe for anyone with any kind of vision challenges. So now, and Gene and Jeff recently had a meeting with one of our exhibitors in our office. I know. Think about that for a second. In our actual office, where you could meet with someone on a professional basis. So some other things that have occurred is we did the Tommy T's Comedy Club fundraiser, and that was kind of a let's get Paul's toe in the water so he can feel the climate of the organization. And I definitely learned a lot of things with doing that here. And it accomplished exactly what we wanted it to accomplish. It was like it was a cross between community supporters and members, community support, donors. It it made about like $2,000 profit, which was good for what it was. I mean, we didn't really put that much effort into it. We had a small silent auction. Noel Runyon donated a lot of his art pieces, and all but one of them sold. So that was a good thing, and that was good for making profit. Leslie Tom is also good for making profit at a silent
yes.
auction.
Yes.
Just for
she
your information.
Is.
Yes.
So comp tickets for next event for Leslie Tom. Making a mental note. Okay, so we had because we had board members coming in from out of town from the executive committee anyway, I decided to utilize that time to be the most effective, and we had a miniature vision casting session. And I feel like, I mean, I got positive comments from it, and so I feel like it was like a worthwhile use of folks' time so that they could start to envision where we want to go. We have secured a contract grant writer who recently, actually yesterday, submitted her first letter of intent on behalf of the organization to a private foundation for operational funds for 2 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's no promises, but she's a very good grant writer, so I'm hoping that we'll see something out of it. We recently submitted a financial literacy grant to the federal government, and they are actually planning to award less than 28 grants across the entire United States. And we were notified about 2 or 3 weeks ago that we were a finalist in that process. So hopefully we will hear back any day in a very positive way. I check my email 60 or so times a day. And as Judy was saying, we've secured the Sacramento Marriott Ranch Cordova for the 2018 and 2019 convention. So the Sacramento Marriott has been a friend of mine for over 20 years in my experience with nonprofits in Sacramento. They always go above and beyond in donating things and their staff time and a lot. They go so above and beyond in serving the nonprofit industry. It seemed like that was the most natural choice to approach. And when the executive committee folks were in doing the vision casting, the Marriott gave us some discount rooms. So we did a quick walkthrough. We had a chance to talk to folks. And it's literally right across the street from the light rail. I mean, you just get off the light rail, walk across the street, and you're at the hotel. So it's very easy to get to. And they give us a good deal, and they're also, and I'm going to talk about this in a second, but they also are going to be a sponsor of the Dining in the Dark fundraising event for 2018 and 2019. So the last thing that I just wanted to touch on from the key accomplishments. So the case for support. So for folks who've never heard about what a case for support is, it's supposed to be a succinct document, 4 to 10 pages long, that makes the case for why you should support our organization. So basically, this is why you should give us money. This is why you should invest your time, talents, and treasures in the CCB. It took longer than I anticipated it to take. I could have written something in a day, but because it is extremely important that you own the document, we engaged folks from different sectors of the membership, and I'm looking at Sarah because she's 2 inches in front of me on this chair, who contributed to the cause. And I mean, we did interviews, I did extensive research, other people did research. We used our organizational historical people like Kathy Skyrers and Mitch, and you know, a bunch of other folks contributed in many different ways. So, and I don't know if you've seen it yet. I have it. If anyone needs it or wants it, I can send it to you. But it's a pretty historical day for the CCB when we can actually point to a document that someone outside the membership will embrace and get on board and want to open their wallets to support what you do here. So I don't know what else there is to say about that. It took us like a month?
Yeah.
Like a month, but we came together, and it really is a living document. So as things change with the organization, things will be added, subtracted. Right after I, one of the weak points for me was the history part of it. And right after we did that living document, somebody, and I want to say Sugar Lopez, sent me a really detailed history that she found from somewhere else. So already, as soon as the document was birthed, it's already been changed. But that's how it's meant to be, right? So Judy asked me to talk to you about the future. But so instead of talking about the future right away, I like to kind of prime that conversation with a little visioning exercise. I realize the irony. So what I want you guys to do is really just take a couple, 3 to 5 deep breaths and to center yourself and start thinking about, like, if you went to bed tonight and you woke up tomorrow morning, everything that you wanted to accomplish as an organization had been accomplished. What I want you to start to think about, and we're going to talk about it in a second, what I want you to start to think about is, what would the world look like? What would your individual community look like? What would your family look like if every goal in your mind that you had for the CCB was accomplished? So let's just take like a minute, take some deep breaths, and just reflect upon it. And hopefully some people will raise their hands and want to share. Otherwise, I'll just pick random people, Sarah. You know, or she just happened to be sitting right here at the main table. All right, so let's just take 1 minute and think about it. And, you know, there's a difference between, like, having random thoughts about it and actually giving it some constructive time to think about what would tomorrow look like. So I'm going to stop talking and give you a minute. Okay, and that's a minute. So for the folks who are still awake, does anyone want to share any kind of vision that they have for the future of CCB? If, you know, if everything were to be solved tomorrow, any part of your vision? I'm looking for anybody raising a hand. Behind me? Board member. Hang on. I'll be to the board in 1 minute. There's one other person.
Grab Sarah.
Okay. Hello, I'm Donna Sanchez, and my vision was that CCB would not have any work, they would be able to have fun, because there would be no advocacy problems, there would be no, everybody would have jobs if they wanted a job, and so forth.
Great. Okay, thanks. Sarah's ripping the mic out of my hand. I'm trying to keep it from her, but she's strong.
Okay, so I think number one overall, because we heard the 74% unemployment rate, I think my number one vision for CCB, a goal, maybe possibly next 3 to 5 years, would be a way to be able to employ our members. I think that it's possible. There's so many different talents that we have out here that aren't always accessed in a payable way. I mean, there's lots of things that, you know, right now, look at volunteer hours over and over and over again, right? And I think the other thing is to take away a lot of the stigma that, you know, surrounds us every day. People have this assumption of what it is to be blind You know, I did. I lost my sight in a car accident. I didn't know what it was to be blind. I assumed everybody was in the dark and in the corner. You're blind. Oh, my gosh, your life sucks. But that's not true. And I think the more that we can get our organization out and visible in front of everybody, we'll be doing the world a good service. Ta-da, that's it.
You must have inspired people. Now I see 15 hands. So let's go over here to this table, and we'll hear from Mitch, and then we'll go over and Ken and Vita. Okay.
There is a hackneyed old phrase, he or she who does not recall the lessons of history is condemned to repeat those lessons. My vision for the future is that in some respects we need to be more like this organization was when I first got involved in the 70s. We know, and those of you who go to ACB conventions and or have heard my rants elsewhere know, that volunteerism, not just among the blindness community or within the blindness community, but throughout society, is faltering. When I joined this organization in 1972, we had per capita probably 10 times the amount of volunteers for any given project that we have now. And that's not to take away from the folks now who are participating in things like Mutt-Strutt and the other activities that we're involved with. But it really doesn't match the numbers we had back in the 70s. And if this organization is to grow and to succeed, it needs to turn and to learn that lesson, that until 80% of us do 80% of the work rather than 20% of us doing 80% of the work, we will continue to fight the same battles year in and year out. And that's my vision for CCB, that more of us realize and recognize that we are such a small group as blind people among not just the community at large, but the disability community, that we can't afford not to be engaged and involved in the work of this organization. That's my vision.
Thanks. Ken?
I think one of the greatest things we could really look forward to would be the fact that CCB would be recognized as the group to demonstrate how to handle job development, how to handle public access to the internet, and that will also improve job development, how to improve access in the way of transportation, how to be the leaders, the respected leaders, by all sources of business, housing, and education for all blind people in California, and then push that out to the entire ACB organization.
Just those few things?
Hi, this is Vita. Beyond all that's been said, my concrete vision would be for every blind and visually impaired person to have whatever computer or phone equipment that they need and the training that they need and the consistency of being updated on their equipment and training, because that's the way to get the job. That's the way to get physically fit. that's the way to move to the next level, because that is where the world is. That's where we are.
Okay, so we're going to take three more. I see two right here, and then Charlene, because I really don't want to get into a massive strategic planning session. I just wanted to create some visioning thought.
Hi, it's Linda. I'd like to see CCB develop a cadre, a group, a battalion, a task force, whatever, to take on the training of the entire medical establishment vis-a-vis blindness, and to just have it so that whatever encounters we have with medical folks, that they are deal with us with respect and courtesy and a sense of our competence rather than as a medical problem for them to solve.
So I think that was very well said. So that'll take us till, you know, how many years into the future before that? That'll definitely stop you from closing the doors.
So I'm going to be a little selfish here. This is Donna.
I thought you said you were going to be brief.
I'm going to be selfish. When I travel, I will long for the day, because CCB will have taken care of it, that as Mitch and I go through towns or hike in rainforests or walk through cities or get on buses or ride paratransit in a different state or whatever, that people won't come up to us and say, "Oh, we heard about the two of you in Kauai or in a little town in Costa Rica or wherever. Oh, we heard about you. We were hoping we'd get to see you." I long for the day when, because of CCB and ACB as a whole having done all of its work, that there'll be lots of us out there traveling and going about, and so it won't be an oddity or a rarity or whatever you want to call it for our sighted peers or others to see us walking around, that we'd just be all walking side by side like no big deal and enjoying life together.
Okay.
We have to cut. So,
Judy says to cut people off after Charlene because she had her hand up.
And if Paul thought that coming to me last, making me remember what I was going to say would work, and I wouldn't remember it, you're wrong. What I see is that people who are blind and visually impaired have the same equal ability to participate in life as a whole as to the degree that they would care to. That the equipment, training, and education needed to obtain that is available. That another part would be that the medical world especially would know an ophthalmologist about where to send their patients to that are losing their eyesight, so that they don't send them out of the office and go, "Sorry, I can't help your eyesight. I can't save it. Go home and have a good life." No, it's go to the CCB and here's what you can do, because we can show you there is life after blindness.
Okay.
And the last one is what everybody should be doing is knowing that people who are blind, visually impaired, have the same abilities as any other cross-section of the world. Some of us are better at it than others, but we all can do. We need to look at what people can do, not what they can't do.
I'm not going to repeat what just Pam said about taking the mic. Okay, so... So that is some very positive and powerful things. So the folks at the front of the room, at the board table, really need to hear what you're saying and hear it more often. And they've said very similar things to me. But together, I mean, we need to come and really create the path to the future. So now I'm going to hopefully rapidly go through the rest of my report so we can all go to bed, or at least me. So, oh yeah, you guys are going to go hang out, huh? So, talk about one more thing that I missed that's currently happening. Working with the Fresno chapter and the Yosemite Gateway chapter, is Tanya in this room? No. Still have not met Tanya, so I don't know what she looks like. And in Sacramento, on putting together a VISTA application to get 5 to 6 full-time people, one in Fresno, one in Merced, and 3 to 4 in Sacramento. And the point of VISTA, if anyone's never heard of VISTA before, it's AmeriCorps, which is a domestic version of the Peace Corps, kind of falls between an employee and a volunteer. The best thing from your perspectives is if you were thinking about maybe applying for it, is that the money does not count towards anything. It's not reportable money. So you could still get SDI, SSI, whatever you get, and be an AmeriCorps member. So the purpose of the VISTA application is to build capacity of the individual chapters in Fresno and Merced based on their rural poverty levels, and also build the capacity of the entire organization, but just through the Sacramento County office. So that application is due on the 27th. In my 5 minutes here and there, I've been working on it in my room. And Sarah, Tanya, Karen, Judy, and I have put together kind of a plan of action. I just need to have time to write it up and submit it. So that's what the current grant that we're submitting is about. No money, but a lot of people that will bring money in, because that's their whole purpose, is resource development and community development. So now let's talk about some exciting things that we have tentatively planned for 2018. And really, this is a board report. I know I'm looking at the membership, but the board can hear me. So at the end, I'm going to tell everyone ways that you can help and support 2018, because 2018 really is the make or break year for the CCB. So the first thing, and I actually had this planned before I found out that there was no Mutt Strut, so it's not a replacement. So one of the things that I was tasked with when I came on board, it was to create a statewide fundraiser that all of the chapters and affiliates could participate in if they were so inclined. And the things that I hear consistently about the membership is we don't have transportation, we don't have the money to travel, we don't have the money to support. All these things are common themes, right? So what I was really looking at doing was a virtual run, walk, fun walk. So and calling it Canes Across California, because it will engage every chapter in the fundraising. So this can take on any form that you want. Obviously, virtual, walking, running, you just pay a small fee and you're a virtual runner or walker. But I want to go beyond that. I want it to be a campaign that starts in August, around August 1st, and ends on White Cane Day. And really a community awareness campaign, but also with a physical activity component. So as a virtual runner in your own communities, you can organize your own events, like the Mutt Strut, like the White Cane thing that the Sacramento chapter did at Arden Fair Mall last year. Anything that helps with physical activity. You can even do the run, walk, whatever, on a treadmill at home, or, you know, sitting at your desk now. But there'll be a wide variety of things, and it will be social media oriented. And it will not just be our membership and our community. We'll engage anyone that we can possibly engage. And the more social media buzz that you create, the more buzz is created. If anyone's, I'm looking for my social media people who have already left. So the more buzz that you create, the more buzz that is created. And it has the potential to not only create awareness across the state for the amazing things that you do and the people that you are, but also engage people outside of the organization in the work that you do and supporting it and engaging in it. I could talk all night just about this, but it's coming. So be on the lookout, because I will call every single chapter. I'm not going to say I'm going to visit every single chapter, but I'll call every single chapter. The next thing is having a sustaining membership drive in 2018. And you guys, for a long time now, have had a sustaining membership category, but it's been sort of vague. So in most organizations, they have something called sustaining members, or there's all different circles of giving that they engage in. So really having a sustaining membership circle where people could pay more than your basic membership fee for more benefits in the organization, like percentages off at conventions. I mean, it's going to be on and on. I'm going to be working with Vivian and the membership folks, but also the Resource Development Committee. I've done these before. You know, I mean, some people will do it, some people won't. It's just how it works. Some people will give $2 a month, but, you know, $2 a month, it's 24 bucks a year. So anyway, so that's one of the things in 2018. But the most exciting thing, and I know I can feel the stares of the board on my back, is talking about the next convention. So the theme of the next convention is really about celebrations. So celebrating who you are, what you've done, and the impact that you've had on society, right? I feel like you have a very, very powerful story to tell, but it hasn't been told well or consistently over time, right? Or as good as it could have been told to reach the mass audiences, right? So, I mean, you do great things, but I learn about some new thing that you've done or are doing every day. So I'm just going to go through real quick kind of the schedule of events for next year. So Celebrations Week is what I'm informally calling it. It can take whatever form you want, but it's going to be like a Monday through Sunday event. The convention will still run Wednesday through Sunday, but the activities surrounding the convention will go from Monday through Sunday. So a lot of those activities are going to be engaged in the community and doing outreach. And I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about you. The people who want to come to the convention early, the people who live locally, like that Sacramento chapter I've heard a couple things about. But, you know, going out to the Board of Supervisors, being the Rancho Cordova City Hall, going into the schools and dispelling the stereotypes, or where there isn't stereotypes, like avoiding the formation of stereotypes and socialization around blindness, and just really getting out there, doing radio interviews, television interviews. I'm hoping to get the fashion Aista. Her name's Emily Davidson. She is totally blind in one eye, has 10% vision in the other eye. She does a blog. She writes for the Huffington Post. She does a fashion blog in the UK. So she's a pretty well-known celebrity there, and if you ever are interested, she's on YouTube all over the place.
And she's young.
Yeah, and she's young. So she'd be good for a student thing, a women's empowerment thing, like all sorts of things. She's essentially agreed to it. She's finishing up her postgraduate studies right now in children's literature. She wants to be a children's author. And she's actually quite excited about coming to California and, you know, being part of our convention. And that's going to bring media attention, and it's going to bring attention from people who normally probably wouldn't attend the convention. So that's one thing. So the community outreach will go day, night, weekend, wherever I can schedule them. People already have existing meetings. It's just working our way into them. the other thing, and this is an exciting thing for me, and I don't know who gave me the inspiration for it. It was somebody in this room, I believe. So we're going to kick off the event with a tactile sensory art show. So that's going to happen on Wednesday, and it's going to happen at the Mills Station, which is a historic train station that's being remodeled into an art gallery. So not only will we be recruiting blind artists, so if you guys know any blind artists that want to participate, definitely have them give me a call. We already have two committed to show their artwork and earn money, but also have an art show that blind and low vision folks can experience through touch. So that will be the kickoff point on that Wednesday. The Thursday, we're going to do a Dining Out at the Dark fundraiser at a larger scale than we've never done one in Sacramento. So like a regular fundraising activity, not just a dinner, sponsorships, all of that stuff. I've done a million of these things. They're a ton of work, but it's a unique concept. It hasn't been done in Sacramento. So there's going to be a lot of people that are curious. Also, Sacramento is a very foodie place. I was going to say snobby, but foodie place. And they will want to come out for it. So two fundraisers in 2 days. One of the other things that I want to talk about, I've heard an employment theme echoed, and I started it, so I guess I'm guilty. But I really want the Chamber of Commerce to sponsor an employment panel and invite the CEOs from Rancho Cordova to come to it. And on that panel, we want people who, you know, have worked, have had careers, looking for work, and are currently working to really dispel the myths about what blind and low vision people are capable of, but at the same time, talking about what you actually need to be successful in a work environment, because these folks don't know. And Rancho Cordova has more corporations per capita, more home corporations per capita than anywhere else in the state of California. So there's 60,000 people that live there and over 200,000 people that work there. And they have their own airport. It's the old Mather Air Force Base. But really want that to happen. Not real sure when that's going to happen. And for people, I know there's a couple of people in the audience that care about advocacy, right? Yeah. So Capital Day.
That's in Sacramento, by the way.
In Sacramento. On the Wednesday. So Capital Day in the morning, art show at night. It's been how long since you guys have done Capital Day?
Several years.
Several years. So Capital Day this year. And then, you know, regular convention stuff and activities like you've been doing this year, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then on Sunday, in addition to what you're already doing, I'm hoping to get a group to schedule an assisted walk along the river. Right across from the Sacramento Marriott is the American River. And during that time in March, it's springtime, and it's really beautiful, and the river's high. But it's also a little treacherous to walk there, but I've fallen, like, a bunch over time. But I have some obnoxious dogs, not like your guys' dogs. I have some crazy dogs. But Sacramento Walking Sticks is a walking association in Sacramento that I'm part of, and I think that they'll come out and volunteer to just do a fun walk on the river. And it's literally one across the street from the hotel on the other side. And the American River Foundation can come out and do some things. So, you know, adding fun into it, I'm hoping to add another sort of BJ's type of fundraiser. There's a couple restaurants right around there, but we'll see if we have time. So there's a lot of things that we want to do for 2018, lots and lots of stuff. So what I really, just to put the celebrations event together, we're going to need more volunteers than we've probably ever utilized in the past, and that's what Mitch was talking about. We need a lot of folks to participate on many, many different work groups, and I'm not talking about committees. I don't do committees. I do work groups. So if you're planning on stepping up, step up and do the work, right? There's going to be a lot of work. And I'm trying to find the page where I have broken it down. Yeah, so the dates.
convention?
March 19th through whatever.
The 19th would be the Monday, right?
Yeah.
So the 21st. Yeah. The 21st would be the Wednesday.
23rd?
It's that last week. No, it.
Yeah, it's the third week of
the 25th is a Sunday? Yeah, that would be the last day. But if we need people, we want people to enjoy that Sunday afternoon, so we want more people than ever to stay over till that Monday so they can have a little treat after all the work of the convention, that lovely walk on the river. So,
okay, so I've said really all the things I have planned right now. But what we need is people to become active on many different levels to support the Canes Across California campaign. And we want it to accumulate on October 15th, if I'm not mistaken, is White Cane Day, correct?
Yep.
All right. Look at that memory. Amazing. Couldn't remember the dates of the convention that I signed the contract for, but White Cane Day right there. Yeah. So White Cane Day would be a great day to have parties as the accumulation of the campaign. Fundraising parties are very, very easy to do. I can help you with that. House parties, fundraising parties, you can do, your event can be on that day if you wanted to do an event, and it can be covered in social media with video clips, with pictures, everything that makes social media great. So Celebrations Week depends on many hands performing many miracles. I've already talked about the work groups. There's going to be pretty much a work group for everything. So work group to coordinate transportation and get that sponsored so people don't have to pay from airport to hotel and back again. Hopefully we'll have a van like the one I drove down here so we can do local travel if people need local travel. I mean, all the things that are challenging or annoying to the conventions that we currently have, I'm trying to ease that burden. So the other thing, and this is for board members, and really engaging chapters. So I've answered the phone numerous times in my time here, and you know, we lost the Compton chapter recently, and many other chapters are floundering, they lack direction, and they really just want help and assistance. So when I was doing the interviews, I spoke to a person who's actually sitting on the other side of me, Bernice, who said before that we used to have something like a chapter liaison program, where much like your elected officials, the board of directors would take responsibility. Each person on the board, 15 members, would take responsibility for being a chapter liaison to a certain amount of chapters around their geographic area and sort of be their support system, communicate the group health vision, and really support the chapters. So that's one of the things that I think that our board needs to focus on. The other thing, and I just lost it. No, I think that was my main point with the board. The other thing is artists and performers. In addition to the art show, anyone who does any kind of talent. So really, now's the time to support CCB. If you ever thought about making a donation, now's the time. You ever thought about volunteering, being on a work group, now's the time. If you have any specific skills, like artist, performer, anything that you think we can highlight at the convention, then let me know what it is. If you know any blind performers, or really, if you know any blind artists that you think could benefit from the art show, I don't care where they are in California, let me know where they are and I'll work out getting them here. I mean, in theory, I'm working out getting someone from London. So if I can bring someone from London, I should be able to bring somebody from anywhere in California, right? So blind artists, we have two committed and we need one more. So, or at least one more. So that really is concluding my report. So we talked about kind of the journey so far, what's happening, what's planned, and really what I'm hoping to get from the membership and the board. So Judy, unless people, I guess we should open it for questions for a short period if you want, but I don't have anything else to say. Okay.
I think we'll just move to public comments, and if people want to then comment on what they've heard, because it is 9 o'clock, and I'd like to get us done by 9:30.
I thought you were going to say 9:03.
No. So, and of course, people, we've gotten a preview of Paul will have a report on Saturday afternoon and for the whole convention. And I don't see what you, I'm going to, you have covered, I'm sure, a lot of what you'll cover there too, but this was technically for the board and people visiting with the board tonight. Let's thank Paul for his report.
I also accept cash gifts, I'm just saying.
Okay, I will, wouldn't you know I'd come down with this terrible cold at convention. What's all that about, do you think?
Air conditioning.
A little stress, a little, anyhow, I want to, we'll go to public comment, and then I have a final few announcements. So, hearing of the public.
Hello.
Go.
Madam President, it's Richard Retha.
Yeah.
I just want to let everyone know that on Saturday, thanks to the convention committee and myself, we will be having a group called Survivor Thrive. They're going to be here facilitating a student-led seminar. They're a support-based group doing mentoring, and they've agreed to work with us to host a basically a free workshop on self-awareness and motivation and mentoring. And we're bringing in Saturday, believe it or not, CCB, this is something to be proud of, 54 young people. Wow. Who would have never have come to the convention. So that credit also goes to the convention committee and Jeff and Judy for allowing me to facilitate that. So when you see a lot of students here, I know Junior Blind, my former employer, will be here tomorrow through Sunday with about 10 or so students, and they're going to be in and out throughout the convention. So if you see them, say hi to them. But on Saturday, on top of that 10, there will be another 44 young people, age range 14 to 24 and their families. And we're going to be up in the Warner Center where the hospitality suite is all day Saturday. So come on in, say hi. Don't take lunch. The lunch is for them. Thank you, Paul Shane, for getting Togo's to donate 60 lunches for free. Yeah, and all those chips and sodas that you got in your bag, those freebies for Togo's across the street, that's also thanks to Paul. So he's a good negotiator. So I just want to let you guys know about that, and let's try to embrace them. We're not charging them to register. We're going to get their information and include them into our CCB network. So make them feel welcome if you come on by and say hi. And that's my piece. Thank you.
Yay.
I have a mic. Who wants it? Okay, I can't hear.
And then I think there was someone up front that also wanted to make a comment.
As chair of the CCB Scholarship Committee, I want to make sure that everybody is aware that the scholarship application for 2017-2018 school year is up on the CCB webpage. I really encourage anyone who is attending college to take a look at that. And it's open through the end of business on May 15th. So I'm just encouraging all students to apply. And Richard, I want to be able to say my piece at the beginning or something of your... Thank you.
Does anybody else have any?
Oh, sorry.
Well, I wanted to share with the organization something that I think would help us to keep our chapters stronger. In the end of 1976, when I was living in Los Angeles, Mac Riley took me to meetings with the Compton group for the 6 months, helping them do their constitution and getting them to become a chapter of the organization. At that time, it was the, I can't say it, ABC, Associated Blind of California. You know, I'm so hurt because we've lost so many of those people for one reason or another. But what I feel so sad about was that those people did so much for blind people in their territory, and yet they were not truly acknowledged in the state organization. And, you know, I just don't know how to say how much Michael Williams and Gussie Morgan have done for the organization, along with Ahmad Rockman, Holly Johnson, and I can't remember Tony's last name, and there were a few others. You know that for the 1999 National Convention, which was in Los Angeles, Holly Johnson tugged on Kathy Skivers and said that they would be willing to help get the items for the donations at the convention. Do you know I've been to 41 national conventions, and I have never been to a convention that had so many items that were donated to give to people attending the convention. And Ahmad Rockman got the largest number of volunteers at any national convention I've ever been to. Have we ever acknowledged those people for the things they've done in the state organization? I'd like to see us pay more attention to the chapters and acknowledge them and keep them up and running.
More comments from the public?
Thank you, Madam President. This is Pam Pology putting on my nominating committee hat to remind those on the nominating committee that we will be meeting in the Apollo room, excuse me, right after at the conclusion of this meeting. And those who are not on the nominating committee, our chapter, San Gabriel Valley, is hosting hospitality upstairs on the third floor. And we welcome you till 1 p.m. tonight, tomorrow night, and Saturday night, and I thank you.
So, Pam, let me make it clear. Yeah. The nominating committee meeting starts at 10, at which time the doors will be closed.
Well, I mean, it's almost...
No, 10. 10. The doors will be closed at 10. It's just too difficult for people to get right from here. They've got to have a few minutes. Okay.
Hello.
Madam Chair, Madam President.
Yes, Frank.
I still have 5 Braille copies of the Treasurer's Report and Balance Sheet. If anyone wants them, come and get them.
Okay. I want the rest of mine. Artist wants one.
Okay, that's 1. 4 left.
This is for the for board members, actually.
For board members, yes.
But we will make them available eventually. We have a new Braille printer, and once we actually figured out how to get it reconnected to the network, just one more of the problems. Mike Keithley, I understand you have a comment. Mike's coming. The mic is coming to Mike.
I am here. I don't know. I don't know quite how to say this, but I was thinking about the mission, our mission exercise. When we were talking about the mission is finished, CCB's mission is fulfilled. And I began to think, you know, I hope it never is. Because when it's finished, we reached our goal, the journey's over, then what? You know, I think that part of this mission should be leave something undone. And that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Hey, leave something undone.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Is anyone else from the public?
I don't see any more hands.
Okay. I've got a few final announcements. We'll be taking board pictures tomorrow night, the old and the new board. So please dress a little, you know, not your sweats and, you know. I want to give a little heads up about how the candidates forum is going to work tomorrow. So any candidates interested in the room can take note. We will have a relatively short time, so this is how it's going to go. We will start with people running for the board of directors. They will have 2 minutes to introduce themselves, and then we will have two questions from the audience directed directly to that person. Not, you know, general, everybody gets to answer. We're going to do the same. They will be directed to that person, and if there are no questions for that person and we have more time, we can circle back. We will start with the directors, and we will do the officer positions last because, frankly, if we run out of time, you know your officers, certainly the ones who are currently running, and if anybody then wants to also add their name, we'll go with anybody who is, you know, running for office from the floor first. Has everybody got that? Okay. Leadership dinner tomorrow night is not in Fitzgerald. There is no such place. It's in Trillium C. Trillium C, and you'll want to come hear Paul talk about the 10 pillars. Is that what you're talking about, Paul?
He's
gone. He's talking about...
No, he's doing other business.
Okay, so anyway, Paul is going to have a great speech. Whatever he's going to talk about, it'll be good. I also want to remind the dog people in this room, we have two rooms set aside. There is the dog quiet room, which is 322. That means you go there and you be quiet with your dog. The room, and there are chairs around the wall. It's open in the middle so your dogs can stretch out. And room 324 is just for visiting. I mean, it's for any dog handlers who want to show up and visit, but the 322 is for being quiet. John Ross told me today that the Bakersfield chapter received its charter in the year 2000. So happy 17th anniversary to the Bakersfield affiliate. Yeah. What? Is that true?
Don't say that.
Is that true?
No.
These boys next to me are misbehaving. Okay. Any other announcements?
I have a couple, Judy.
Well, of course, Peter.
Basically, my first announcement is the exhibit room will be open tomorrow.
You mean the Abby Schumann exhibit room.
I stand corrected. The Abby Schumann exhibit room will be open tomorrow from 9 to 4:30.
Okay.
And we have 30 tables. I think we have close to 18 exhibitors. So this is we have a really great group of exhibitors this year. So I'd encourage everyone to please stop by there tomorrow or stop by the Abby Schumann exhibit room on Saturday from 9 to 2:30. In addition, CCB is, you can order online CCB convention t-shirts and you can stop. They can take your orders at the registration desk, so please stop by and see Jennifer and Sandra.
Yeah.
And again, we still have meal tickets available.
And we can get tickets for luncheons tomorrow up until a little before 10. Is that right,
Peter?
Yeah,
if you need tickets for Friday luncheons, If you haven't pre-registered already, and if you want to go to it, purchase them on-site, do it before 10 a.m. tomorrow, for lunches, and we can sell the leadership dinner tickets up until 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. And, of course, you can buy any meal tickets on Saturday for the breakfast, lunches, and dinners.
Yeah.
And we really want to encourage people to attend the banquet.
Okay. I'm not even going to ask for a motion. I declare this board meeting adjourned.
Hey.